You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album. Pass the ganj.
Oh, yeah.
Pass the Ducci to the left-hand side. You feeling it, Paul?
I don't feel it yet, but I feel like we do have to liven up ourselves, as they say. It's another episode of Two Guys, One Album.
These are your hosts, Michael Heidemann,
Paul Farvar,
and of course, the ghost of Bob Marley, who's joining us today with the album we are taking a look at. I'm very excited. We've been throwing this one around for a little bit. We've been pausing on it. But now, tonight's the night for Natty Dread, 1974 album by Bob Marley and the Wailers. Actually, the first album released by Bob Marley and the Wailers instead of just the
Bob
Wailers.
Marley, yeah. Oh, this is the first time he used his name in the film.
Yeah, he took a little bit of the solo artist route.
And also, this is one without Peter Tosh. This is the first time Peter Tosh left the band.
I love Peter Tosh.
He's my favorite reggae artist.
We were talking about this a little bit before the podcast, and you can't get enough of the Tosh man. Great musician.
Yeah,
except for Bob Marley, he got enough of the top man.
You know what's funny? I go back and forth with Bob Marley, but in the last 20 years, I've been I just can't get into it anymore because I think I burned out when I was literally.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was waiting for the joke.
My first compact disc ever purchased was Legend Bob Marley. We didn't do that because we don't do greatest hits on this show. Mm-hmm. If you have any problems with that, let us know. But that's just not how it works. We do full albums. By the way, Michael, we need to remind people, number one, this is our opinions. A lot of people get very aggressive with our reviews on Two Guys, One Album.
No.
We are the insiders. So you guys got to remember, between Michael and I, we have at least 2,000 CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
at least.
I mean, I've got 1,900. So I'm just assuming you had 100.
Mine are mainly vinyl and iTunes.
Yeah, I have some cassettes too. So okay. If we're going to count that. So we are insiders, but we're also just having some fun. And also, it's just 30 minutes of your life, okay? All of these, we've done this for over 20 episodes, and not one of them has gone over 30 minutes. If you don't believe us, go back and look. And, you know, people are like, it was 31 minutes. Yeah, but you're including our intro, which is at least 3 minutes.
Paul likes to keep things all in the pizza realm of the 30 minutes or less.
Yes.
Let's give him a little insight into what the podcast actually entails. So we are music insiders. We take each album song by song with careful analysis, like you heard in the intro. And what we have going on is we end up with a rating system at the end. And Paul and I both have different ratings at the end of the album. And often they differ a lot of the time.
I feel like never this album. Been the same.
I think this album might tear us apart a little bit.
And this is the first song on the album. We haven't even talked about it. It's been playing in the background, and we've been listening to it. There's no marijuana in this office right now, and it's hard to listen to. I'm gonna say I was a huge Bob Marley fan in my high school days, and I loved this song. This is one of my favorite Bob Marley songs, but I just can't get into it anymore, man. And and might have to do with the fact that I don't smoke pot anymore. Maybe you have to do it. And I'm not even joking, really. Maybe a little bit.
Doesn't smoke pot
doesn't
anymore.
Hold up.
He has a jewel, though, I think, right?
It's like, you know, when you stop skateboarding, you stop listening to Suicidal Tendencies. It's just the way
it works. No, no. You always listen to the Tendencies. Come on, man.
I don't know.
They played it at Riot Fest this year.
I'm sure they did.
That was pretty great.
But this song is, what do you think? I mean, Natty Dread is one of his most popular albums that's not a greatest hits album. Did you know this song before you heard it today?
You know what? I've probably heard every single Bob Marley song, but I just thought they were just one song on repeat many times.
They all do kind of blend, huh?
They have this great vibe, and you gotta respect the man for creating this kind of music. And if not creating it, because obviously you can get into just the specificities of it all, but he did bring it to popular culture, he did bring it to America, and dang, on this album cover, he is a handsome-looking dude. dude. And I didn't realize how good looking he was.
When he was younger, yeah.
I just see
he was always pretty young.
I just see the smoking like poster that you see in everybody's college dorm room, photo of him. So
this is Natty Dread has a more nice drawing depiction of him. It's a color depiction. The thing about Bob Marley is
he smokes pot.
He smokes a lot of pot. He was a Rastafarian, which is a great religion if you Google it. I actually did a whole report on that because I was such a nerd. I had a radio station show where I played only reggae music. I thought
I
had the Jamaican flag on my car. Sticker.
Have the hat too?
No, didn't wear the hat.
Oh, man.
But I was a huge reggae fan. But now I can't stand it anymore. I really hate reggae.
Well, Paul, we have the most popular song maybe in Bob Marley's career coming up. Can we get a little example of how you would introduce this next song coming
up here? This next song is from our favorite artist here on the Reggae Hour with Paul Farivar. Bob Marley sings No Woman, No Cry. But this is the other version of it, not the popular one. But listen.
What's happening with this song?
I knew you were going to be shocked.
Where's the rat-a-tat-tat?
No woman, no cry.
Okay, right from the get-go, it sounds like Bob Marley is singing this in a karaoke bar somewhere in deep Jamaica.
This is the original version, I think.
No woman, no cry.
Okay.
So
he sounds so young.
Hate No Woman, No Cry. This version or the one that's on Legend that a lot of people are familiar with. It's just so overplayed and it doesn't hold up for me. Mm-hmm. I can't understand it. I love reggae music. I got into my reggae period where I went to Black Uhuru concerts. Steel Pulse was one of my favorite reggae bands. I liked Andrew Tosh, who was Peter Tosh's son. I got into that. I saw Ziggy Marley, all those reggae shows. But something just changed in me. And again, maybe it's when I stopped smoking pot. This just doesn't hold up for me.
The original version of this song actually was in a gospel style, so this was almost a church anthem for a little bit, featuring Peter Tosh.
He didn't write this song. Vincent Ford that wrote this
song. Vincent Ford. Now, that's a very interesting point that you bring up there, and doing a little bit of research that I did on Bob Marley, a lot of these songwriting credits are muddled because he actually had a lot of friends and family that he mm-hmm. gave credit to help them later on in life. So in popular culture and in myth, beliefs, whatever you believe, Bob Marley did write all of his own music and did maybe share some credits. I don't know the exact specificity. I keep using that word.
Specificity.
I sound like Porky Pig.
Specificity.
Yes, that word of this song. So you can go back and see who exactly put down the lyrics to the paper. I'm going to say good job, Vincent Ford, but
better known as Tartar to his friends. Vincent Ford was a childhood friend of Bob Marley's.
It's said that he would have starved if he didn't hang out with Tartar. Paul, who was your Tartar in your life?
I don't really know. I had so many Tartars. Depends on what era of my life. But yeah, are you a big... what's your favorite... is this your song, No Woman, No Cry? Do you like it? Do you like this version or the other version? Be honest with yourself.
The other version of the song, which was remastered for Legend. So many masterings going on. I like that Legend version. I think that it was a lot more full. It brought into the full essence of No Woman, No Cry. The reason I don't like this song.
This is the longest answer. You could just say, yes, I do like it, or don't. Just answer. You're trying to justify not liking it.
I'm creating a thought
You're not a politician. Just say, yeah, I don't like this song, or yeah, it's okay.
There's a reason why I don't like this song. It's because of the multiple covers that I heard over my life. Because
it's been
Jimmy
overdone.
Jimmy Buffett, Sublime, oh my gosh, every single friend that Fugees. I ever knew. The Fugees. Well, the Fugees actually did. I give them some credit.
But that's my whole
band.
Point. Like, there's other songs that hold the test of time. You know, Under Pressure is my favorite song of all time, Queen, David Bowie, but other people do the cover and it doesn't make me sick of the original. When I hear Under Pressure by Queen, no matter where I am, I listen to it all the way through. Whenever, no matter where I am, when I hear No Woman, No Cry, I change the station. I don't like the song. And I'm not a Bob Marley hater. I don't like that song, and I don't like his more popular songs. And I think Legend it killed it for me because I overplayed that song all through high school, mm-hmm. and I just can't deal with it anymore.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And you just proved my point that you're trying to defend it. It's not a good song. It doesn't hold up. It's like any song that's really popular on radio, you love it for a few minutes, but then like you can't stand it anymore.
Is it, no, correct me if I'm wrong here. Is everything gonna be all right? Everything gonna be, is that No Woman No Cry?
That's No Woman No Cry.
Okay, I do like that part of the song, but I do not like the rest of the song. Everything gonna be all right. How about that one song by him where it's like, I want to thank you for driving in my car.
That's that Bob Marley.
Who is that again? Gagita.
Listen, you're okay. Clearly full. You're still hungry. But
I
let's
am
go.
So hungry.
Let's go. Speaking of the next song, which is Them Belly Full. But we hungry.
Now with Paul Farvar's Reggae Hour.
Push play. Have you heard this song before? Let's listen.
By song title alone, no, I have not. Okay, I like this. I always like the use of a choir.
So this
There's
is
some background singers.
Belly full, but we hungry.
I haven't heard this song in at least 20 years. See, this is a deep cut that I kind of like.
You know what it really sounds like? It sounds like it could almost be a Police song with that great tempo.
Funny you should say that. The Police were heavily influenced by Bob Marley and the reggae music.
I can tell.
And that's the best band of all time. We all know that.
You know, you don't often see a lot of bands using these off-tempo beats, too, with their songs anymore. So maybe Bob Marley did have something with the way that he crafted a song.
No doubt. He's brought more to modern music than almost any other artist. That doesn't make me like him anymore. But so this is an okay song. It holds up.
The album itself was released in 1974 in October by Island and Tough Gong. Tough Gong. Do you know what that is, Paul?
I do. It's the label that that released all of his stuff and
yes,
distributed it.
That's his recording label. And it was a nickname Bob earned for himself in the Kingston ghetto of Trenchtown, which was named because it was built over an old drainage trench for exactly. he was the wrong guy to screw with, supposedly, and he was a Tough Gong. That's a great nickname. Tough Gong.
It's an okay song.
Do you want
to... Here's another problem with it. After a few minutes, like you said, they all kind of like blend in.
Yeah.
Let's go to number four.
Let me see if I can fit this in real quick. Everything is gonna be all right. All right, let's just jump into number four.
Rebel Music, 3 O'Clock Roadblock. Not to be confused with 3 A.M. by Mad Trux 20.
Oh. All right, I like the use of the harmonica right from the get-go. You know, he has a great way of starting his songs differently, but then they all just meld into the same kind of stuff. Shot the sheriff.
But I did not shoot the deputy.
So, quick tidbit on Bob's father. He was actually a 50-year-old white British naval captain named Norval Sinclair Marley.
Norval.
Norval.
What if he was named after his dad? That would change everything.
It would change
a lot of people
history.
Would be named Norval instead of Bob.
Just imagine all the kids who would be sitting there smoking. We'd be like, hey, could you put on some more Norval?
What kind of, was that an Irish person that was doing that voice?
They're at Trinity College in Ireland. That's where a lot of the Bob Marley's fans came from, actually. Did you not know that?
That's another thing on this list of unknown
facts.
That's the problem with reggae. People trying to do Rastafarian accents. It often sounds like they're Scottish or Irish.
Let me try it again. Hey, man, put on the Norval. That's even more Scottish
more,
than
you
I
You sound like the Scottish guy on The Simpsons.
And I'm only saying this out of respect for the love for Bob Marley that I do have. His mom was actually a black country village girl named Cidella. And she had him when she was 19. He was born at 2:30 in the morning.
Different times back then.
Yeah, in 1945.
When you're born at 2:30 in the morning, you become a night owl. That's just the way it works.
He had a strong family. I mean, you got to think back.
That's true.
Think back to 1945, living in Jamaica, or living in
wherever. He was born in 1945.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
February 6, 1945.
So it would have been like 70-something now. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He died pretty young.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that. I always
died
assumed,
in the 80s.
Yeah, I always assumed that he passed away at a healthy age.
This is the album that, by the way, if people ask us why we picked this album was one of the highest-ranked greatest albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And in the book of 1001 albums you must hear before you die. So we're not just some idiots up here that just picked a Bob Marley album, okay?
We got a lot
of callers that are saying, why'd you pick this? Anyway, this song blows. I don't want to hear it anymore. Let's go to the side two,
which is
number five, So Ja Se.
We wonder why we have people who email us at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com, and that's two guys, one album with the number two, one album at gmail.com.
Why do you give away the email right when I shit on a song?
So if they got something to say, you can just go to your computer and let us know.
I feel like you just want them to be like, Paul, by the way, is the one that we don't like. I get it.
They'll probably be
someone's got to be the bad cop,
yeah.
Michael. I'm that's my role.
They'll be like, hey, Paul, So Just Say What?
Now, that's what accent was that?
No, that was my normal talking voice, saying So Just, the name of, all right, whatever. Let's go over the personnel who took part in this
album.
Let's
listen to this song first for a second, because I haven't even heard this. I don't think I remember this song. Do you? Not one of my seats shall sit in the sidewalk. It's kind of like talking to us, huh? Bacon bread? Is that what he said? Is that code?
He's got some smooth lyrics.
So Ja is Rasta. It's the god in Rastafarian.
Really? Ja?
I don't know.
So just say?
I think so.
So just say what? All right, anyway, Bob Marley, he was lead vocals and rhythm guitar. Ashton Barrett, bass guitar. Carlton Barrett, drums and percussion. Bernard Trouter Harvey was on piano and organ. We've got Gene Roussel on the Hammond organ, and that's the guy who arranged the No Woman, No Cry piano part. And Al Anderson, lead guitar, and Ahmed Wallace on kazoo.
No Ahmed Wallace. And this is also important to note that Bunny Wailer, who was originally part of the Wailers with Peter Tosh, was also not on this album. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this song is no good.
Bunny,
is it doing anything for you, Michael?
Not really feeling it. Just a quick tidbit about Bunny Livingston, a.k.a. Bunny Wailer. Her given name, guess what it is? Nelville O'Reilly Livingston.
Norville.
Nelville.
Close.
Neville.
It's a popular name in the 40s.
You know, that's like an old grandpa name.
Well, it was the 40s, Michael. Not everyone could have a Michael and Paul.
We would have been the outliers in that
situation.
We would
have been. It's crazy. Now all the kids are going to be named Aiden.
Okay, do you want to hear what... Okay, we'll just go to the next song.
I'll
give you another one.
I lost my pen cap, but that's all right.
Next song, Natty Dread.
This is a very popular song, and I kind of liked it, and I think that's why I bought this album back in the 2000s. Let's hear.
Dread, Natty Dread now. Dread like Congo Bongo. Natty Dread like in a Babylon.
This kind of holds up a little bit.
Yeah.
You knew this song before or no, Michael?
I've definitely heard it when my friends and I were in high school and we were looking at things underneath the black light. That's for sure.
This wasn't on Legend, so
it's really good.
I don't know if they had these albums back in the farm towns
of Jamaica or my farm town in Illinois.
Your farm town.
Oh, okay. You know, you can't deny his voice. He does have a good, strong voice, and I think it only got sadly affected by all the smoking that he did, because right here it's very clean.
Yeah, I still like this song, but I mean, again, it's one of those things where it's like, after like 2 minutes of the song, I'm done.
What's the longest? We got to figure out what the longest song on this album is.
So far, the longest song on the album was Rebel Music, which is 6 minutes 45. Lively of Yourself was 5 minutes 11.
Okay.
And Natty Dread is 3:35, which is, you know, you could tell back then they were looking for, Island Records was looking for what's going to be the hit they can play on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do Lively Up Yourself. No Woman, No Cry in that speed up version was 3:46.
Mm-hmm.
And Natty Dread is 3:35. So this was like the hit, and that's why it was the title of the album. My guess. We don't know that for a fact, but if you think you know the answer, twoguysonealbum@gmail.com.
Great review.
But yeah, I this is probably the best song on the album thus far, and I think it was back then when I bought it.
Oh, he's going to do a bridge finally, too, with this song.
A bridge on a reggae song?
I can't believe
it. Get out.
Listen to this.
Yeah, it's Natty like a post-bridge.
Okay, I do like that song. Natty Dread is one of the better.
That's probably the best song. That's going to definitely help it in the ratings.
What about Bend Down Low?
This is number 7, Bend Down Low. Bob Marley wrote this song. 3 minutes, 21 seconds. Do you think we're going to make it all the way through?
Email us.
With this keyboard?
Album.
With this organ sounding?
It's a little bit of a child wonder-like song here. Almost like a nursery rhyme.
A speak and spell, if you will.
And then we get into the groove.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard this in a while. Holds up.
Let me tell you what I know.
So do you want to hear what Peter Tosh's given name was real quick?
Sure.
Winston Hubert McIntosh. Not even kidding.
It's not bad. It's the best of the three. I'd rather be Winston than Norval.
Mm-hmm. Hubert McIntosh. So the first record Bob actually cut was named Judge Not. And on the label, his name was actually misspelled. Speaking of names, it was misspelled to Bob Morley. Morley.
That's a whole nother ballpark. You got to let me go. So, without Bunny, it doesn't sound the same. I know they have the i3s, which is Rita Marley, Judy Mowat, and Marsha Griffiths, but I just don't, I feel like it's, I do appreciate that the production on this is so, like, it's just bare bones, not bare bones, but just, like, organic, you know? There's not overproduction, overdubbing. It's like you feel like you're in the room with them, which is cool. You don't see that a lot anymore.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, I can't believe that the percussionists think it's so bored playing the same beats for this entire song.
Or the bassist. I mean, if you ever go to a reggae concert, back in the day, you can go to there were a bunch of reggae. There was a Wild Hair in Chicago, which you can get into back in the day. When you're underage, it was so easy to go there. You can be like 16 and go and get drunk at Wild Hair and watch great reggae bands. But you could just watch those guys and they're like playing the same. I mean, there's a discipline in playing music to be able to play the whole 10 minutes of the same freaking thing the whole time.
Yeah, just that's in almost, rounds.
Yeah, it's almost as hard as, you know, being a good, like a good soloist.
You can only hold a strapped bass on your back for so long before you start getting arthritis.
It's just, that's like what you call a jobber. Like they are doing their job. And the same with the drums too. Like there's no transient. There's no transition.
Transients.
There's no transitions. I mean, they're just playing the same thing over and over, but that's all right. Bend Down Low was all right. Let's talk some blues. Talking blues.
Have you ever been to Kingston Mines here in Chicago?
I have. And they used to do a lot of reggae stuff there, too.
Yeah, yeah. One of the staples here in Chicago for great reggae music.
Well, it's blues, mostly.
Mostly blues, but there are some reggae nights. Now, the cool thing about this music is, for some reason, it connects with people on a level that they will devote their entire lives to getting into reggae music. And also, what I'm always surprised with, their entire haircuts. Like,
dreadlocks.
For years, you need to focus on these dreadlocks.
I wanted to get dreadlocks, and
no way.
We've talked about this, I think, in the Conan Crows episode, but I almost got dreadlocks, and my neighbor, my good friend who I had a crush on, Vanessa, convinced me not to do it. Because I was like, I need an original look. I was playing tennis. I thought I was a Persian Andre Agassi. He's already Persian, so that makes no sense. But, and I was into Counting Crows, and I was into reggae. I'm like, I'm going to get dreadlocks. But you know how hard it is to get dreadlocks and how...
What do you even have to do to get dreadlocks?
Just your hair. You can't wash your hair while you're in the process. It's a pretty gross thing.
It does look pretty awesome. I mean, Bob Marley on his album cover looks great with these dreadlocks. And I love when you got the ponytail of dreads. That's another solid look, too. So this is the song. What is it called again?
Talking Blues. There's multiple versions of this as well, but this is the most poppy version. I mean, they do all the, you know, it's almost Motown in a way that they've covered all their bases in terms of trying to have the big band sound in such an organic setting, but. Yeah, it's just kind of doesn't hold up for me. Probably the third best song on the album, though. But well, you know what? That's funny. We're almost done with this whole thing.
Well, let's jump into the next one then. What do we got on
Revolution.
Deck?
We've got a Revolution here. It's not the Beatles version, I don't think. But let's listen to it for a little bit. I don't even remember this.
You know, for an album that came out in 1974, this is, like you mentioned, some very, very clean production work for a band that was, you know, kind of going through some transition. Bob finally put his name on this record, and obviously he was very proud of this work. He has a great way of threading these very interesting political statements into his lyrics alongside this. You know, to be honest, he's a very passionate singer, and he does it like flawlessly. There's no belting out like singing a ballad, a love ballad or anything like that. It's just gritty, great vocals with a smooth, smooth beat. And to be honest, I'm very relaxed right now. I'm very chill.
It is very chill, and maybe that's why they started the album with Lively Up Yourself, because they're like, hey, listen up. I know you're chilled. But it was good to hear this for a while. I haven't heard this album in a while, but I can guarantee you that this album will never be played again in its entirety in my lifetime, at least with me present. I just don't see it. I'm ever gonna listen to this album again. But I'm ready to rate this album.
You ready to rate it? That was the last song?
That's the last song, unless we got the bonus track. I don't think we do.
You know what? We didn't even go over the fact that we often get a skip every once in a while on these
albums.
Controversial part of the show, but we didn't have to skip a single song.
No,
that speaks words in itself.
For your rating, it can, Michael, but I don't think it's going to change my opinion. I make no apologies for the fact that I don't listen to reggae anymore. And when I do, or if I do, it's not going to be Bob Marley. To me, it's too commercialized. And it's not the fact that I'm not like, oh, it's, you know, I'm against commercial music. And some of my favorite artists are very commercial. But to me, it's been overplayed. And I listened to one too many songs by Bob Marley in the 90s. And I think you have a maximum that you can withstand as an adult. And then when you hit that cap, when you hit your per capita of reggae, Bob Marley, mm-hmm. Bob Marley mm-hmm. in particular, you can't do it anymore. Unless it's live, maybe live covers. But even when bands cover it, and no one could ever do it. No one could replicate what he did.
What about steel drums and you're in New York in a line for a hot dog?
I can't do it. I do like that they have djembes in there. I did hear a djembe or two, but
oh, yeah.
As a djembe player. But I will say this, I'm ready to rate. I give this three likes, and that's, I make no bones
three
about
likes.
It.
Three likes?
Three likes.
Stop the presses.
That's not the lowest. Has it been the lowest I ever gave?
That is the lowest.
I don't know.
It's tied your other lowest.
I don't know if that's accurate, but
and I think you gave Pink Floyd as three and a half.
Well, we'll see about that. But I'm going to give it three and a half likes. I'm going to give it a cookie because it reminds me of how much I used to eat when I get the munchies. I'm also going to give it a shamrock for your Irish accent that you attempted during the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to give it a burrito because also I used to eat burritos a lot and I still do when I had the munchies. Those are my three emojis and three likes.
Harsh, but fair.
Bob Marley's Natty Dread. Hey, it's just my opinion.
Okay, I like what you did there, Paul. This was an interesting album. First time I heard it all the way through. Definitely the most time that I've spent listening to Bob Marley, besides when I was getting rides home with my hippie friends in high school. But you got to give the man some credit. Like we mentioned before, he's a very great history. He's obviously a legend in the reggae community. I love what Ziggy Marley has accomplished, and Damian Marley put out one of the best reggae albums I've ever heard with Jamrock. So I gave him an extra few points with that, just because of his offspring, Damian Marley's Jamrock. But I'm going to give this record, Natty Dread by Bob Marley and the Wailers, a solid five likes.
Okay.
Five likes. I'm going to give it the guy blowing in the wind emoji just for the amount of smoke.
There's a guy. I don't have there, that emoji.
It's no, you do. It's like a wizardy kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
Who right. is blowing in the wind. And it's right here. I'll show it to you. See? It's like a cloud blowing in the wind.
Oh, I never saw the human face in that. Okay.
So I'm going to give it that guy. I'm going to give it a palm tree just for the art of Jamaica and just being
relaxed. There's
no
palm trees in Jamaica.
You know what? In my Jamaica, there's a few palm trees. Okay. And there's a hammock that I'm sitting on right now.
Is that the third like? Is that the third emoji?
The third emoji is going to be, like you mentioned, we have to give him some food for the munchies. I'm giving him a straight up donut.
Donut. That's your stoner food.
But it was donuts because at the time when I had partook in the puffing of the Chiba, the only thing open in my small town was a 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts, and that's the only thing that I could go to. McDonald's
weren't
was
cops
closed.
There? Like, weren't you
no,
worried?
No cops were there. It was a small town. We had like three cops. So I would go there and I'd get the...
Norville was one of them?
Norville, Winston, and Hubert McIntosh.
You knew them all.
They were their names.
Okay.
But I would go to that place and it just takes me back. I didn't listen to Bob Marley, though. My music was more like sad love songs.
Yeah.
Like Rufus Wainwright would be my jam. Like,
yeah.
Just getting really into it. But Bob Marley, great album. I'm going to give you a solid five.
Well, speaking of Rufus Wainwright, you should go back and listen to our reviews of albums like Rufus Wainwright, Blind Melon self-titled release, our discussion of The Police, Synchronicity, which I say is one of the greatest albums of all time.
And also the other greatest album that you always mention is Taylor Swift. You said the album that she put out with Blank Space is amazing too. But we did do that album as well. We could check out some reviews there. Of course, you can find us at Two Guys, One Album on Twitter. You can find us Two Guys, One Album on WGN's page, which is WGNRadio.com, and then search Two Guys, One Album. You can email us at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com.
Find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, all those places. Review us, too.
Yeah.
If you don't like us, review us anyway.
Uh-huh.
And give us five stars and then shit on us in the comments.
Yes.
That's what we prefer.
We only read the five-star reviews. So if you really want to give it to us good, you got to write five stars
and then shit on us.
Just shit all over it.
Yeah.
But we're very excited to keep in touch with you guys. We got a lot of great emails from our John Mayer episode. So we're going to be taking a look at some of those in another listener mail in the future. All right, so for another episode of Two Guys, One Album, my name is Michael Heidemann.
And I'm Paul Farivar.
We will see you next week.
Yeah.